I wonder how many of us watched the election debate last night. Perhaps we're sick and tired of the election. It will fill our news bulletins for the next few weeks, and I'm sure we'll get sick and tired of that. The problem is that there seem to be so many half-truths and distortions and carefully worded statements. You know, you just wonder, you know, what things could mean and, you know, how these people will actually stick to what they promise. In contrast, we have the Word of God, the Bible, which is a most sure word of testimony. It tells us the truth. The whole truth about ourselves. It's not some saccharine-coated pill just to give us good news or make us feel better. It doesn't cover up or pull any punches as to what it says about ourselves or about God. While there might be big dispute about amongst the politicians about our state of our nation, state of its finances and what needs to be done about that, there's no dispute in the Bible about our condition before God and what needs to be done. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. There's none of us are righteous. And we see that in our society, don't we? There are murders, the rapes, the thefts, violence, and so on. And that affects all of us to a lesser or greater extent. You know, great men in the Bible, King David, the man that's described as being after God's own heart, yet he fell into serious sin. And we read earlier of Peter, Jesus saying that he was going to even deny that he knew Jesus, and that came to pass just later that night. Someone who had spent 3 hours with Jesus. And, you know, ourselves, we are affected. If Bible tells us if we say we have no sin, then we're kidding ourselves, we're deceiving ourselves, we're making him out to be a liar, and we're just not being honest with ourselves. Some politicians over potential candidates over the last few months have been found out to have been committing misdemeanors and, you know, presumably no longer going to be parliamentary candidates. But, you know, God has found us out. God has found and notice that we have broken his command. We have not kept his law with our whole hearts to love him with all our strength, all our being, all our heart and soul. And his justice demands that we are punished. His wrath must be satisfied. You know, politicians sometimes use weasel words and forms of statements, get out clauses, and they can say, well, I didn't really mean that. But, you know, there's nothing we can say. No get out clause, no argument that we can bring against God to get ourselves away from that guilty verdict. But the good news is, that's the bad news, the good news is that God has put a deal on the table, that he will do a swap. A man without any fault would be punished and receive the punishment for everybody who had done wrong. Well, how on earth could God achieve that? For all men and women have sinned, all are guilty. Well, God himself would provide a sacrifice. His own son would come, be born of a woman, be born under the law, become a man without sin. And it is he who would go and be punished with death by death to allow us to go free, for our slate to be wiped clean. But, you know, the swap was better than that, because just as our sin was given to the Christ, the Lord Jesus. His righteous, his perfect obedience was given to us. That was the other part of the swap, the deal that God put on the table, that we would be considered accepted before God as his Son was, so we could be freed eternally if we believe and trust in Jesus, if we confess our sins. The gospel and the Bible tells us he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all that pollutes us, all that makes us separate from God. And we can rejoice in that tonight, that Jesus implemented that swap, that he did that on the cross. Our sins were laid on him, his perfect obedience given to us. And we remember that in the bread and the wine as we remember his death. But the other thing that's been in the news over the last week or so is this aircraft crash and questions over, well, did the pilot commit suicide? Did he deliberately crash the plane, kill himself, and murder his passengers and crew? You know, our Lord Jesus Christ did not commit suicide. He died at the hands of sinful men. Yet he was fulfilling God's great plan of salvation. You know, that plan had been carefully spelled out in pictures and symbols and emblems in the Old Testament, the ceremonial law, all these sacrifices and religious ceremonies all pointed forward to Jesus, what he would do in his life and in his death. The law, those Old Testament stories and those events were all a schoolmaster training us, leading us, bringing us to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told. This time of year in the Jewish calendar was one of those ceremonies. It was the Passover ceremony, when the Jews remembered that event. They had been taken as slaves in Egypt, and they had been used there to build the pyramids and the cities of Pharaoh. But then God sent Moses to rescue them, to take them out. There were plagues that were sent to persuade Pharaoh to release the Jewish people. And the final plague, you remember, was that the firstborn in every family would die. But there was a way of escape. Those who took the blood of a lamb, painted it on the doorposts and on the lintels, the angel of death would pass over that house. And the Jews remembered that year after year after year, through the centuries, through the millennia. And this time, this Easter time, the Jews were celebrating that very sacrifice. And it was the very day when the Passover lamb was going to be slain in memory of those events or those thousands of years previously, that Jesus was taken and was killed. The death of that lamb, that ceremony that they went through every year, was to remind the Jews of that event back in Egypt, was to remind them that the lamb that was taken had to be a perfect lamb, one without blemish. They had to keep it in the family, in the house, for 3 days, make sure that it was okay, that it didn't have a limp or anything wrong with it. But it was to make them think that the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was also perfect, without blemish, no stain on his character, no dodgy dealings, no underhand events. He came from heaven pure and spotless, unsullied, holy. Thomas Binney wrote that song, didn't he? Eternal light, how pure the soul must be to dwell within your that searching sight, and shrink not, but with pure delight to live and look on thee. Our God is so pure, so holy, that we as ordinary human beings cannot look upon him. But Jesus became man, the perfect man. He never sinned, yet our sin was laid on him. He became sin for us. But you know, that sacrifice, that Passover sacrifice year after year, was to remind the Jews that there had been this marvelous deliverance from Egypt, that after the firstborn of Pharaoh died, firstborn of every family who wasn't protected with that blood on the doorposts, the Egyptians said, go and leave us. The Lord Jesus Christ was creating and achieving a greater deliverance than that, a deliverance from the bondage of sin, sin that had shackled every one of us and bound us and would eventually carry us through to a lost eternity. The lamb that the Jews slaughtered to paint the doorposts, and then they had to eat it, that was an innocent lamb. It hadn't done anything wrong, but you know, it exempted the Jewish family from exempted the firstborn in that family from death. And the death of Jesus Christ exempts us from death, spiritual death, a lost eternity. The death of the innocent Lord Jesus Christ gives us life to all who believe and trust in him. The blood sprinkled on the doorpost told the angel of death to pass over that house. It's where the name comes, the Passover. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ sprinkled on our consciences by faith cleanses us from guilt, from the wrath to come. The Jews had to eat the lamb to be part of that family and to be included. And we as Christians need to feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, to receive him into our hearts. You know, this is not just something we believe in as academic truths, but we need to repent ourselves, turn to him in faith. You know, people will say about that plane crash, or indeed about the Kenyan students that have been massacred the last day or two. You know, what a waste of life. What pointless deaths. These people died in vain. What was achieved? When God put his plan of salvation into practice, Jesus' death wasn't in vain. He gave his life as a ransom for many. He wants to bring many sons and daughters to glory. Jesus' final cry on that cross, it is finished. He had achieved that. He had paid the price in full. And it was done. We sometimes sing the song, "The price is paid. Come, let us enter into all that Jesus died to make our own. For every sin, more than enough he gave, and bought our freedom from each guilty stain." So we've read the scriptures together this evening. We have trace the life of the Lord Jesus Christ through his last day or so. He was on that cross from 9 in the morning till 3, and then he was hurriedly taken down and put in the tomb. You know, the religious ceremonies still wanted to be obeyed. They didn't want him on the cross on the Saturday, on the Sabbath. We're going to remember now the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Passover lamb foretold what he would be like. His body was given for us. The pain and the suffering that he went through is a picture of the suffering, the pain that due to us throughout all eternity. And perhaps we can visualize that. We perhaps find it harder to understand and realize the spiritual pain that he suffered, being soiled by our sin. He who had never had sin in on him at all, like victims of crime feel violated or unclean. That was how he was. How much more he must have been affected. But the price is paid by that scourging cruel. He took our sicknesses, our sin, as if his own, and by his wounds, his body broken there, his healing touch by faith may be known, may now be known. So we're going to eat the bread together. Let's give thanks for the bread and for the wine. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling all the Old Testament prophecies. They all come together in him. They all pointed to him. And we thank you that we no longer follow them because we have our perfect Saviour, the Lord Jesus. We pray now that as we remember his death, we take the bread and remember his body given for us. How the Jews had to eat of that lamb meat. We eat now to remember his going to the cross for us, for our part in the suffering that he bore for us. Heavenly Father, help us now to eat with faith. Help us to remember the debt that we owe. We ask this and your help in Jesus' name. Amen.